Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Sauce of the Scary. Jeff Wright, Derek Zhu here with you. It is day number 6072 for me in self-isolation. Jeff, how are you?
I'm straining under the fatigue of quarantine isolation, my friend. I'm sure it'll kill us all, but people are going to get bored and they're going to head out. And who knows what's going to happen to the human race. Maybe this is how we finally get a zombie apocalypse.
You know, it's funny how we've all joked about the zombie apocalypse and stuff, but man, it is so close. I'm a little scared. I need to work on my cardio.
I'll just buy more ammo.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going to do is I'm just going to come live at the Wright House, I think.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Let's do that anyway, just because that would make the current quarantine better.
Yeah, well, I'm down. I'll see you in about 9 hours.
Okay, man. I'll hold you to it. So what are you doing with your time nowadays?
I'm doing a lot of writing. I've got a couple of writing projects that I'm working on. Good. And I'm also doing a lot of coloring. I bought some coloring books. And so I've been coloring a lot.
Huh. Well, I mean, I guess those are the two essential skills that you can take anywhere, right? Like for entertainment's sake or productivity.
Yeah.
Well, when are we going to see the fruits of one of these? Are you going to Instagram some of these coloring pages or publish these books? Or when are you going to let us in, Derek?
Working on the book. Hopefully I'll feel good about it and we can drop that. I just came up with a concept a few days ago that I've kind of passed around to some different people to see if they liked it or not. And now I'm trying to figure out if I want to make it a film or if I want to make it a book. So I've just been trying to flesh all that out and get it going and stuff. And then, I haven't been big on social media. I got real... If I can get real honest with everybody listening, I had kind of a meltdown on Monday morning where I woke up and saw a couple things on social media that just really kind of broke the camel's back.
Mm.
I can say that it's not racist. And I just kind of deleted all my social media. So all of it's off my phone. It's still on my iPad if I get bored and want to check it. But so I don't know if I'll be Instagramming stuff. I am sending out different pictures, though. I've sent out a couple of these coloring samples to a couple friends that wanted them. A good friend of mine, Shauna, she is a big Captain America fan, so I colored her a Captain America picture.
Nice.
Matter of fact, Jeff, I've got a Batman one here. If you want it, I'll send it to you.
Yes, sir. I was about to say, I'm realizing now where I rank on the family and friends list, but that's okay. Please, I'd love to hang up your Batman picture, and I will, if you'll allow me, put that on Instagram. I'll share it with
course.
The world.
Of course. I think I may have put the Batman one up in like my Instagram stories.
Mm.
But that was about it. And the reason that you haven't heard about the film project yet is because I haven't had it written out to be able to tell you about it. And I don't think I could say it over the phone or over Skype.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's cool. I'm really not offended. I don't feel like I have to have access to all of your life, but it made for a good joke in the moment.
Yeah, no, you do. You do. We're partners here on this podcast. So,
sir.
Yeah, you should know everything that's going on.
Basically like an ant colony. We just have a hive mind.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. What about yourself, man? The kiddos keeping you busy?
Yeah. Basically, online school is all my time except for the stuff I have to do for, I say I have to do the stuff I do for the church related stuff that's still happening and the school related stuff that's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see those as burdens, though. I welcome them, honestly. It's just nice to have productivity available to you.
Sure.
So, watched the Jordan documentary. I'm a huge, that's my basketball wheelhouse. So I was eagerly anticipating it. The first two episodes delivered, trying to, watch that with my kids and help them catch up on it. So there's a few things going on. Nothing too dramatic, but enough to keep me from fully becoming a vegetable.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I made this joke to some friends earlier that I thought I'd wait till we got on the podcast to ask you. But do you remember a couple of years ago where like NASA said that they would pay people X amount of dollars to like stay in bed for 45 days as an experiment?
I don't, man, but I miss my window.
Well, I'm thinking maybe we all just agreed to it in like the iTunes upgrade or like the latest update to our 2 hour technology.
Yeah, it's in the terms of service or whatever those are called.
Yeah, that nobody ever reads. Mm-hmm. So they're like, beautiful, unleash the corona.
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah, that's one few tinfoils out there. Have fun. You're welcome.
Hmm. I mean, it makes as much sense in 2020 as anything I've heard.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. So you watched the Jordan documentary. Anything else? I guess this is an impromptu.
What you watching? What you watching? What you watching?
I don't think so, man. Oh, no. We already talked about it, but I'm slowly going through those Vice wrestling documentaries.
Yeah.
So I watched Bruiser Brody, which was good. I knew a bunch of that stuff, except it was weird when Abdullah lied about being in a meeting. Following Brody's death. I watched the Randy and Liz one. I knew most of that stuff too. Mm-hmm. New Jack is a psychopath. And I guess my opinion hasn't been changed since watching that. I think that guy just wanted a place. He wanted a theater to play out his violence without ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that makes anybody mad. I just look at that documentary anyway, and the way he still talks about it, like it seems like he feels completely justified in everything he did. And that just makes me think that we're not dealing with a healthy member of society.
Yeah.
So I think that's all I've watched though. Yeah. I think that's it.
Have you, just to stay on that Vice documentary a little bit, have you been able to watch the newest one yet?
Is that,
it's the Dino Bravo one.
No, that's one of the ones I'm most interested in watching. I think I started the one on Gino.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that I know basically because of you and the Von Erichs documentary that's on the WWE Network.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good, but really, really interested in the Dino Bravo one. Good stuff or not worth my time?
Man, I was disappointed, honestly. I think just because like there was a lot of that, it was a lot of that stuff that I knew already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I just expected them to go into more details on what was going on, but it really was just a lot of speculation. But I think it's worth it. Like, I think it's worth watching, but I think that my hopes were so built up, I guess because, man, this season has been really, really good. The Benoit stuff is just, you know, even knowing the majority of the stuff in the Benoit documentary, it was still just really good because you had, you know, you had his son in it, you had the sister in it and stuff. So I just thought it was really well done. And I guess I just kind of expected the same thing on this one, but they also get the most carny of carnies in it, in Jacques Rougeau, which I don't know if you and I have ever talked about Jacques Rougeau or not, but I've never heard a positive thing about him ever.
No, I don't think we've ever talked about that. That's interesting.
And so I take a lot of what he was saying with a grain of salt, but I definitely watch it, but just don't put your hopes up or like don't put your expectations up as much as I think I did. I think that's where my problem was.
Let me ask you this. I have specifically ran into this with the Jordan documentary.
Mm-hmm.
If anything approaches the level of fandom you have for professional wrestling on my side of this relationship, it's probably 90s basketball, specifically the Bulls.
Sure.
And so those first two documentaries are great, but they were great in the way that like they're just a stroll down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
And what has been strange to me is people being blown away by details I thought were super common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is that Scottie Pippen grew a bunch late in life and it improved his stock, or that he was an equipment manager for the small college he ended up playing for. I just thought that was well-known stuff, but on Twitter and various message boards, Reddit, whatnot, people are kind of stunned by all this. And I think in some ways it's diminishing my experience. Now, again, I'm having a good time, but I knew it, so it doesn't go off like a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of that's going on with you and Dino? And
probably, yeah. I would think that is true. I guess that I was just looking for, you know, like you were saying, just that stuff that I thought would be more shocking to me, which is probably more shocking to the common person than it is, you know, to somebody who's invested so much time in pro wrestling like I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's probably a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll like it more than you then.
Yeah, I hope so.
Your face, if I do, pal, I'll call you with my joy and lilt in my voice and tell you how wonderful it was.
Yeah.
That'll show you.
You're an idiot. That documentary was the best ever.
That's what you get for reading stuff about things you're interested in.
That's what you get for being obsessed with it for the last 30 years, you Nimrod.
Yep.
Speaking of which, I couldn't sleep last night, and so I went down a rabbit hole of 1993 Family Feud, where the good guys from the WWF played the bad guys from the WWF.
Oh my.
And brother, that was a great trip down memory lane.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube?
It is. It is. Just type in Family Feud, WWF, 1993, and all five of them should be there in succession.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
then I guess I'll have to do that.
Yeah. The teams were, the good guys were captained by Randy Macho Man Savage, and he had Crush, Tatanka, the Big Boss Man, and the Reverend Slick on his side.
I just can't imagine them giving answers.
They don't. I mean, they do, but a lot of the times you can just tell that they're like, we shouldn't have signed up for this. Hmm. The bad guys are Papa Shango, Repo Man, the IRS,
uh-huh,
and Jimmy Hart, and they're captained by the, at the time, WWF Intercontinental Champion, the greatest of all time, Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
Hmm. Okay.
And at one point, it's Shawn and Randy are head-to-head on something, and it was, name a condiment that you sprinkle on food, right?
Yeah.
And so they hit the buzzer. Shawn clearly has the lead, or, you know, buzzed in first, but Randy still goes, salt! And Shawn just looks at him and goes, salt! And gets it.
How funny. Randy just assumed things worked like in the locker room, right? The big,
yeah.
The vet eats first.
We'll be, but so we're going to do it. Yeah. So it really was. It was a lot of fun for nostalgia's sake. And just because for me, this is kind of a trail off, but I remember watching those when it happened. You know, in syndication, it was this time of the year, like right before, right after WrestleMania, one or the other. And I remember they go to Papa Shango for an answer, and it's a I forget the question. It's like name something you spend and like more money than you have on, or something like that. And he goes, toys. And for probably the next 10 years, just randomly, my mom and I would say that to each other. Nice. Like, you know, we would just say toys, and we'd both get a kick out of it. So it was fun to hear that, because I'd forgotten all about it. Then he said it and I was like, oh yeah, that's so cool. So
that's fun.
Yeah. Fun little trip down memory lane. But yeah, I highly recommend it, man. It's, I mean, they're all, you know, they're all gimmicked out, but they're also all like, we shouldn't have done this. We don't. Our brains are filled with cocaine and steroids. We don't know the answers to these questions.
How funny. Well, I guess I will look that up then. As somebody who has not been watching a ton of stuff, it's time to remedy that.
Yeah. When you get to watch them, let me know, because I want to get your opinion on them. I think they're hilarious.
It sounds like the unintentional comedy highlights and Olympics there.
Yeah. Yeah. Boss Man is in the Fast Money round, and he says something. I forget what it was, but he says something, and even Ray Combs is like, seriously? That's the one you're going with?
How funny. Okay.
Yeah. But obviously, all of you out there didn't tune in to listen to us rant and rave about nostalgic 1990s wrestling. Should we get to the main event, Jeff?
I think we should. Do we have any time with Mark this week, or have we let him go?
I think he's in self-isolation, so I don't think we have him right now.
Okay. Well, that's probably best. That way we don't have to pay him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting paid, so I don't think he should be getting paid.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, underwater then, buddy.
Yeah, let's pull the curtain. You should already know that I don't like this movie when I don't do the, when I don't go into Bela Lugosi.
So, I mean, that's right up there up front. Didn't care for the movie, eh?
Man, I felt like it was Alien underwater.
Yeah, I think it wishes it could be.
Yeah, I think that's what it was going for, and it just – it could never measure up to that. Even – I mean, even with, like, Kristen – I almost said Kristen Wiig. Even with Kristen Stewart's, you know, unintentional, ironic haircut and stuff, it just – it just felt like – I don't know. I don't have much positive stuff to say about this movie.
Yeah. Well, stunning development. I didn't hate the movie. Found some stuff I would like about it.
Yes.
One of my – I've actually got two criticisms. I'm going to get those out of the way. Then I'll tell you the things I actually did like, okay?
Okay.
You hit it initially right off the bat. I thought, you know, the haircut they gave Kristen Stewart just screamed, this is Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought, I just need, like, I need 86% of the shots of her walking around in her underwear digitally changed where she's just got some pants on.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it that this happened in the middle of like night and everybody was getting ready for bed or whatnot. But at some point, my girl's got to get some sweatpants somewhere, you know?
Right.
And I feel like we got a shot of Sigourney Weaver in Aliens in some black underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just seems like that, you know, one, I think it's exploitative. I don't think you have to have a, I don't need women running around in their underwear for a whole movie. I don't want to feel like a creep watching a movie.
Right.
There are movies that you can choose to watch if that's what you're into. And that's not what I came to Underwater for. But it just seemed to be screaming, see, it's like Alien the whole time. And I got over that pretty quick.
Yeah. So did you know that this movie was originally supposed to come out in 2017?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Which explains the presence of TJ Miller quite nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something that caught me off guard because at first I was like, man, that's kind of a gutsy move to bring TJ Miller in after all the hubbub and backlash that's been around him over the last couple of years. And then, you know, then you realize, oh, this thing was shot 5 years ago. Makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I just felt like that none of the characters were really that fleshed out. And I'm not big on movies that just throw you into it. Like,
oh yeah,
I would like to have known what was going on, what they were doing. I mean, was any of that explained?
Well, I think it actually worked for me. Again, surprise, surprise, the horror uncle is here today. And I'll give you my theory on why I think it served the movie. It's probably not going to change it, but I'll give you that in a minute after I exhaust all my stuff I hated about it. On the TJ Miller front, I realize that guy is persona non grata now. But I, you know, apart from his loathsome character or whatever, I have always kind of generally enjoyed his style of comedy. But again, in the same way that they were alluding to Alien, I feel like they had TJ dialed up on his TJ-ness to like 37.
Yeah.
And I just needed him to not make everything a joke all the time. You know? Yeah. I also can't imagine a world where a human being greets someone pulling them out of the rubble and says, "Ah, oh, you flat-chested elven creature," or whatever. I mean, this is a movie about futuristic sub, you know, ocean floor dwelling. Drilling, going sideways and releasing Lovecraftian monsters. And the most unbelievable thing in it for me was TJ's dialogue.
Yeah.
So those are the two things I did not like about the movie. You want to talk about why they threw us in there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, man, this is your show. I'm just on it.
No, sir. I think it actually made me like the movie better that they did that because the movie hits and everything comes at you at really fast pace. And you're right that nobody gets developed here other than, hey, this is Ripley.
Yeah.
But for a B movie, I thought it kind of helped because I just felt like, you know, it's a tired cliche to say on a roller coaster. That's not it. I just felt like the pace of the movie was super fast. And that kept me from losing interest. And it made it feel more compact and like, oh, there's actually threats here and how are they going to respond to it? But it never really rose to the level of me being conscious that that's what's happening. I don't know if any of that makes sense to you, but I think the pace worked.
I get where you're coming from with it. I guess for me, everything hit so quickly that man, I feel like that I say this a lot and I apologize, but I didn't care about any of these people.
Yeah.
I cared about Vincent Cassel because I like that actor, you know, the Frenchman who plays the captain.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, but even when he dies, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, like none of these characters matter. And F you for having the black guy die first.
Yeah, that was not a strength. Not a strength. I don't know how much I'm at liberty to say on that front, but it just seemed it didn't seem clever and ironic.
Right.
It felt.
Well, I mean, that's yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you on that.
Go ahead.
Just in a movie filled with stereotypes and tropes, why are you going to lean into like the worst of them?
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah, it really bothered me. And you're right, man. TJ Miller in this movie is dreadful. Yeah. Like to the point where, you know, I said, oh, congrats on them for like being gutsy and casting TJ Miller. And then watching the movie, I was like, oh, he don't give a F anymore. he's just going to do. I mean, did they write this stuff for him or were they just like, go ahead and vamp TJ? Yeah, just that's fine. This is a commercial. Just go ahead and whatever you want to do. No big deal. Because
yeah.
it just felt like he was just the most insufferable. I mean, to the point where like when he died, I was like, thank God he's gone. I'm so happy he's not around anymore to make light of every. It's like all these idiots on Facebook who try to make jokes about what we're dealing with right now with this pandemic. I'm like, okay, that's funny, but you don't need to inject humor into everything that's going on. Like,
sure,
you know, we don't need the peanut gallery to explode all the time. Yeah, it was.
Maybe he got it out of his system, and if he ever, I don't know, becomes a better person, they will. He'll come back with a different gear. You know what I mean? Like maybe this was the butterfly casting off the shell or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, I hope that that's the truth. It's but yeah, he was really insufferable in this, and you know, I can't even remember who survives in this movie.
Yeah.
Like it was just, and I understand what you're saying when you're going with the frantic pace made it feel, you know, probably gave it the feel that they were wanting for it and stuff. But man, it took me out of it. The first 10 minutes, I'm like, well, okay, what's going? How's were they? I don't even care anymore.
Well, did it help any that they managed to make it feel claustrophobic?
Yeah. Yeah, that is a positive. That was a really good. I mean, here's the thing, man. This movie wouldn't have been made 15 years ago. And I'm not saying like, oh, it sucked and should have been made. But like graphics and CGI wise, like we would not have been able to make this movie.
Yeah.
And I thought that for a B movie in story, it looks really good. You know, to the point where I was like, who did the effects? Like, was James Cameron's people involved in this? Was like Lucasfilm involved in this? And, you know, that's what it reminded me of. And, it also kind of made me sad that like, we don't have Alien now because I mean, as great of a movie as that was, you know, 30, 35 years ago, just imagine what Cameron could have done with it now.
Right. Right. I agree with you on this movie looking much better than I thought it would. You know, I mentioned earlier, nobody's going to feel like this is a revelation, but it's a B movie. And usually B movies are going to have some obvious weaknesses because that's the point, you know, in some ways. And I thought visually they really knocked this out. Now, what I've since learned is the movie, the studio spent a ton of money on the movie, and the effects were also a lot of them done practically. I don't know if you read any of this, but like for the scenes where they're walking across the ocean floor, they're actually walking across a sandy, you know, floor, and they're on wires to make it look like they're a little bit more buoyant than they would be. And that works. And I think I don't know. I thought it paid off for the movie visually. I read the director saying that we did, you know, very little green screen, but we did a bunch of black screen where they went back and added the water effect over on top of it. And, it, you know, I don't know what this guy, if this is like a primer for his next movie, but if so, I think he developed some pretty good stuff. I'd be willing to see him do another underwater disaster movie or monster movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've seen from William Eubank. And it looks like he's a fairly new director. This is probably the biggest thing he's done. He directed a movie called The Signal back in 2014.
That one missed me somehow.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne was in it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fitting because this movie, you know, obviously there's an allusion to Alien, but Event Horizon is in the DNA of this this film as well.
Maybe that's why I didn't like it.
It could be. It could be. You know, the scene you're talking about where the guy implodes when his suit cracks. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like a clear allusion to, I can't remember the character's name, but they call him something like Teddy Bear or something, which is what no adult in any work environment is ever going to be willing to be referred to by his coworkers. But he goes out under the possession of the ship and lets himself out of a space lock. And, you know, he goes into the decompressed state of the outer space. And this is kind of the inverse of that. So the guy, you know, the guy gets explosively compressed.
Yeah.
So as somebody who liked Event Horizon, well, it worked for me. How about that? Stunning development yet again. Another thing that I thought served them, another decision the director made, was that we never got to leave the catastrophe ground zero. Mm-hmm. Like, we never got a shot of people who had made it to the surface in the previous escape buoys or whatever. We never got like a scene of, oh, these, we're going to have to go down there and rescue them. Like, keeping us right there without any sense of the outside world made me feel more like I was stuck down there trying to navigate my way through it. I thought the isolation of the storyline helped with the viewer feeling isolated and in a dangerous spot. The sound helped too. I thought the sound, I never really thought the sound sounded hokey or cheesy or whatever.
Yeah.
The other issue is that we already talked about how the murkiness kind of worked because of how they went about doing it. I appreciated that we got some clarity though when they felt like it served the story. Like when that creature puts the helmet of the suit in its mouth and begins trying to eat it. I'm glad that that happened in a way that we got a minute or two with it. So I don't know. Praise where praise is due, I guess.
Sure.
The note I have here, we've hit on this a little bit, Alien and Event Horizon, but I also feel like Resident Evil was in there quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you ever play Dead Space?
No.
Dead Space was a video game that was basically Alien. It was a survival horror game where you, it's not just Alien. I kind of stammered over that. It's kind of Event Horizon as well. You're supposed to go investigate this. Something's went wrong on a spaceship and you're there to find out what.
Okay.
And it does a lot of the same stuff that this movie does. It made me think that maybe Underwater should have maybe not a sequel because Kristen Stewart's character died, but I think I would play a video game version of it. It seems like it would set up well for a video game.
Okay.
They go back down there and the Cthulhu monster attacks again or something. I think I'd play that.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of transitions, that's actually what I love most about this movie. I didn't know for sure that they were going for a Lovecraftian look, but since then there's been some stuff posted on Bloody Disgusting and whatnot. And, I thought they pulled off Cthulhu really nicely. I thought that was a really good looking version of the that creature.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I thought that all of the little babies and then of course the giant one at the end, I thought that I did laugh at that.
Did you?
With the reveal being like the huge Cthulhu, I thought that was funny, but never in like a hokey sense, you know, but just in like, okay, of course it's going to be a giant Lovecraftian monster. Makes sense.
Yeah, sure. That's what's beneath the surface floor.
Yeah.
It's always, it's a trope at this point, but, you know, hey, we've hit a thermal pocket and life could survive in that thermal pocket. When you're like, well, yeah, that's true, but they just got dumped into the coldest part of the ocean. And so if they're used to living in a thermal pocket, it's not going to go so well for them when they're, you know, the same way that if you didn't have these suits on, y'all would be in trouble. These creatures are going to be in trouble too. But you know what? Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's just assume they will thrive.
That
was funny.
I felt like the Eubank was trying to channel maybe the Meg in that, where it's like bigger is better.
Yeah, well, they went super big with Cthulhu for sure.
Yeah. Did the teeth on Cthulhu remind you of the Nun?
Yeah, now that you mention it, not at the time, but yes.
Yeah.
That's not an association I ever want with a movie that I kind of like, just so you know.
Yeah.
So next time, keep that to yourself, pal.
Well, I didn't like this movie, so it's in lockstep with how I felt about it.
Yeah, I think I would watch another one of these. I hate kind of that Kristen Stewart's character died because I could kind of watch the hokey, you know, sequel B movie version where she sees it as a personal challenge to go back down there and confront the monster. You know, nobody up top realizes what's really going on down there. They won't believe her. They don't want to because the corporation wants to make money. And so she's got to go back down to take another shot. I'd watch that. But apparently she insisted that her character die. So she may have not been wanting to have to come back to this.
Well, God bless her. Yeah. And that's another thing, man. Like when she dies, you know, that's supposed to be a huge sacrificial act. And I was just like, yeah, of course she's going to die. Yeah. She just Bruce Willis these fools. Makes sense. Go launch the crater. Get Ben Affleck off this thing.
Yeah.
All you needed was her FaceTiming Liv Morgan or Liv Tyler.
And she's definitely going to get pneumonia walking around soaking wet in her underwear like that. I mean, you know, it's probably best that she didn't try to live, because that would be a brutal case of pneumonia.
She gets back. That's actually Kristen Stewart, her characters who contracted the first batch of COVID. So that's
for sure.
Way to go.
I don't know. Maybe we can't joke about that, but she did, and she shouldn't be, because maybe she can come back for the video game.
Yeah, yeah. Bring her back for the video game. Maybe she can be some kind of AI or something.
Oh, there you go. Just like the idea of her finally fixing that pod and getting out. I don't think that's possible canonically, but you know.
Right. I just wanted Steven Tyler's "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing" playing as they launch to the surface while she tried to destroy this devil monster.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I think there's much more to say about the old movie, but I felt like watching this movie kind of how I felt watching Crawl.
Okay.
It worked better than I thought. I don't know that I'll watch it again, but for a movie that was clearly a January dump going for nothing more than just a high budget B movie. Yeah, this works. And so like if I'm ever running a drive-in theater and I want to do something kind of B-movie celebratory, I think I'll do a double feature with Crawl and Underwater. If the people running this part of drive-thru are listening, I will take 3% commission on that idea. Just let me know. Let me know what you...
Oh, man. I need to get a hold of people at the drive-in. We still need to try to make that happen.
For sure.
Dang, it's on a Saturday this year, too, Halloween.
That would be dope.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Have a social distancing scare-a-thon at the drive-in theater in Sparta, Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, you know, not to get off the subject of the movie, but since we brought that up, like, wouldn't now be the best time to invest in drive-ins?
Mm-hmm. You know, in my industry, there's a whole lot of churches doing drive-in church. There's a lot of stuff that we could convert to that kind of gathering that would be the closest we could get to, you know, to a normal human interaction, shared experience, I guess I should say. That's not just entirely online or through a TV.
Yeah.
I think people would be up for that, man.
I do too. I do like a drive-in comedy show.
Yeah, dude, that would be great. You know, you can get an FM transmitter that is just the head pack. And those aren't super expensive. I think they've got a pretty good range too. I don't know if you want FM signal being, beamed through your brain at that distance, but you know, if you're willing to live on the wild side, you might be able to do it.
Yeah. That's something to think about, but. Yeah, I wish that we had some stock in the Sparta drive-in right now, because I think are they opening? Well, I mean, I guess they can't right now with the state on lockdown. But have you heard like any rumor and innuendo that they're going to open up?
No, I haven't heard one way or the other. Yeah. I mean, man, the quarantine really is like a bubble. I don't spend a ton of time. I think most of that news would come through Facebook. I don't spend a ton of time on Facebook if it's not the Facebook group. And so that information may be out there, but I do not have it.
Yeah. I was just curious, because if I'm them, I try to figure out a way to make myself essential, you know, being like, hey, entertainment is an essential part right now. Like people need it.
For sure.
And then I open the drive-in every freaking day, you know, even if it's not the same movie, just be like, yeah, come on back. Or even if it is the same movie, you know, but hey, you can't get out of your car. We'll come to you. You know, we'll have open menu, so you can get whatever you want, and you know, just stay in the car. Don't go visit people or anything like that. And let's get together and watch some movies.
Yeah, you guys were just gonna spitball this all the way out. You get, you know, one person who gloves up and does all the CDC stuff to deliver any food to the door. To the window of the car that ordered it. They can order by whatever slot they're parked in.
Right, to the window or to the wall.
And then you just need like one bouncer who is so gnarly nobody wants to get out of their car lest he notice them, you know?
Right.
And done and done. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need a Bill Foster type to patrol around.
Yes. Listener, you should not know who Bill Foster is, but that's really funny. Just take my word for it.
It just, that was the first person I thought of. I think Roy Slager used to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh. Well, so much. So much talent available.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're listed in Sparta Drive-In, just like Jeff said, 3% on the back end, and we'll be good.
Yep. We'll make it happen. We'll all make money. Buddy, I got nothing left for underwater. It was tolerable. I think it, you know, we'll get to it, but it did what I needed it to do for a little horror movie break in the middle of the quarantine.
Yeah. Well, let's get to it then, my man. Did we see something scary?
I can't really say we did.
That horror Uncle Goodwill only lasts for so long.
Yeah, it was a fine movie, but I don't think I ever got scared.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on that. Well, I won't agree with the fine movie part, but I'll agree with not being scared. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you ranking underwater?
Specifically, 5.
Okay.
It is perfectly acceptable B-movie horror.
Okay.
And I'm good and probably won't ever watch it again, but don't feel like I wasted my time.
Okay.
You were going to go where?
4.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. Again, I thought that the cinematography or the CGI effects, however you want to frame it, I thought that they did a really good job. I, like you, am interested in what Mr. Eubank, William Eubank, does in his next go around. It looks like he is a big sci-fi fan, so I assume that that'll be his next project. Hmm. But, you know, ultimately, I thought that everybody in the cast was very mismanaged and deserve better.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it doesn't surprise me that this movie was made on an $80 million budget and only recouped half of that.
Sure. Sure. They went big with the cast and the effects and whatnot. I don't know if they thought this was going to be a summer tentpole or what, but they didn't scrimp on the funds.
Yeah, no, they didn't. And, you know, I think that if you would have given us a reason to care about the characters more and given a little bit of a better plot and story to it, I think this movie would have been a surprise. I think it would have been Crawl, since you put that out there, because you and I were both really big on that movie.
Yeah.
I think that that's where we could have landed. This could have been a solid, you know, 6.5, 7 across the board, and maybe given you a reason to come back for a sequel. I mean, they planted it in the final moments of the movie where they're talking about how the company that they work for are still going to continue to drill and whatnot. So, I mean, there's an opportunity to do something down the line.
It feels almost like a Godzilla King Kong movie in that way, you know, where they do all the Monarch stuff and they tell you some exposition through it. So I don't know, rope Cthulhu underwater into Godzilla and King Kong and let them fight each other. You have my money.
Yeah. Speaking of which, since you said that, it kind of kickstarted my brain. I watched a movie on Hulu, not Cthulhu, but Hulu, called Colossal.
Okay.
And it stars Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis. And it is a real bastardization of Godzilla to the point where I think the Universal or whoever owns the rights to Godzilla may have sued the people for it.
Uh-huh.
But if you're looking for like a quirky movie and you're a Jason Sudeikis or an Anne Hathaway fan, I'd say go watch it.
It was called Behemoth?
It's called Colossal.
Colossal. Okay. Yeah. Well, writing that down as a note right now.
Yeah. And it was I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed this.
Okay.
So, but it I'm down for a battle royal with all of the movie monsters.
Sure.
Give me Mothra, give me Godzilla, give me the Wolfman, have him get a helmet and scuba gear and swim down there,
pilot some kind of drone.
Yeah, maybe he and the creature from the Black Lagoon can symbiote together and have some kind of clone that, you know, is able to breathe underwater. I don't care. Sure. Just let's have them all fight to the death.
Yeah.
Somehow I think that if they did make a sequel for this, you would find out that Kristen Stewart is still alive.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case.
Somehow Cthulhu took pity on her and kept her alive. Her,
delivered her.
Some kind of monolithic goo or something. I don't know.
That sounds disgusting, but yeah.
So anyway, so on your recommendation, would you tell our listeners to go watch this movie?
I think you could do worse. It depends on how hungry you are for something to watch.
That's funny.
Just how hungry you are. If you haven't seen a good scary movie in a while, or you like the intersection of disaster movies and monster movies, this is fine. You, I don't think you'll feel like you wasted your time.
Yeah.
Is that, damning with enough faint praise right there?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's the best backhanded compliment you can give this thing. I'm going to tell you guys to skip it. I think there's better stuff out there for you to watch, like Colossal, for instance, on Hulu.
Which I'm definitely going to check out.
Yeah. It's quirky, man. It's weird. I won't tell you that it's not, but I really enjoyed Anne Hathaway in it. And Jason Sudeikis pulls a turn that I didn't expect. And it's weird and funny in a giant monster movie kind of way.
Yeah. You had me at monster movie.
Yeah. I had you at bastardization of Godzilla.
That's true. That's definitely true.
Cool. All right. So there you go. You've heard our take on Underwater. What's your take on it? Let us know. Hop in the Facebook group. We saw something scary. Let us know what you think about it. And of course, all of your scary horror sci-fi needs can be met in that Facebook group. A lot of times stuff gets covered there that Jeff and I don't know about or haven't had the time to check out. So always be on the lookout for that in the Facebook group. We saw something scary. Do us a favor, man. Give us those 5-star reviews, especially on Apple Podcast. That helps more people discover the podcast, and we would appreciate you for that. And then, of course, if you would like to help us out monetarily, you can do that as well. Patreon.com/scarypodcast. There are 4 different tiers for you to be able to join. I think as low as $3 gets you a bonus episode from us every month. And remember, this month, Jeff and I are going to sit down with our favorite Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes and do a little play-by-play watch-along action with those. So be on the lookout for that in the next week, Patreon peeps. He's at Riot Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo, and we are out of time. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We hope that you guys are staying healthy, you're staying sane, and we'll get through this together. But in the meantime and in between time, stay away from clowns and sewers, white people teacups, and blind men with turkey basters. We'll see you guys back here next week. Bye-bye, man.